Trekcast.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the settings over with OBS and Discord, but it's not playing nice, so we just decided to be old school. Here we are. It's working. It's recording. We're good to go.
Yeah.
No audio effects or anything like that, but you know, it works. So off we go.
The neighbor dogs are barking like crazy.
Can't hear them, so that's good.
Oh, you're lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. It's worse than the voices in my head.
Oh man. So
what's the matter you?
What's that?
What's the matter you? You sound down.
We did this show already.
Yeah.
But now we have another episode to add on top of it.
Yeah, I know, but it's not
it's always tough doing it again.
Yeah, it's not organic.
Yeah. Well, I got you different news stories that you guys can rip into.
We're gonna talk about the same things, and I'm gonna have the same thoughts that I had last week, and I'll have to fight the urge to crack the same jokes because they're not gonna play the same way.
No, they're not.
Because you've heard them before. You know.
Yeah, but that was last week. I've completely forgotten the entire thing. So I mean, I don't have.
I'm in the same boat.
Well, I mean, you know, Putang still sounds like poutine.
So. Yeah. Indeed. Yeah. That's so bad. That's so bad we lost that. I mean, God. That was just, that's the worst part. It's not talking about Prodigy again. It's the fact that we lost that.
So, sometimes the Putang is fleeting.
Yeah.
It's
maybe
true.
It'll work. Maybe it'll work. I don't know.
It's like, oh, I've been there.
Married for as long as we have. Yeah. What was the... Oh, I know what the joke is that I came up with. One of the guys one of my buddies was talking about how, you know, his Wi-Fi just kept going down. And I said, why don't you marry it? It'll stop going down on you instantly.
Oh, come on. Oh, jeez. I must be getting old. I must be getting old. Where, like, I find the dumbest jokes hilarious. And I find, you know, some of the potty humor, I'm just like, wah, wah.
Hey, Dan, I read your mic a little.
Like that?
Oh, yeah, that's much better.
Okay.
You're not in a tin can anymore.
Yeah. I read one the other day. It says, a priest, a rabbit, and a minister walk into a bar. Uh-huh. And the bartender says to the rabbit, what can I get you? And he says, I don't know, I'm just here because of autocorrect.
Oh, that's funny.
I think it plays better when you read it. Rather.
Yeah. Probably, but that's
tell,
pretty good.
Tell it to somebody.
It probably does. Yeah. Well, right, everybody. Welcome to Trekcast, the galaxy's most unpredictable Star Trek podcast. Here we are again talking about Prodigy for the second time. You didn't hear us talk about it the first time because my audio did not record. And so you missed some really good first hot takes, as well as some good jokes and everything else. So
we'll have new hot takes.
That's the way it goes. Yeah. So, yeah. But here we are again. We're going to talk about the first three episodes of Prodigy today. That's our main topic. And, of course, Daniel's going to hit us up with the news. We are recording over on old school Skype, so we have no effects because OBS and our Discord setup is just being a total
dweeb.
So,
but Skype is steam-powered, so that's good.
Skype is steam-powered, and you'll always have water to burn. So
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with the news.
All right, go for it.
Our first news story comes to us from space.com. And the headline reads, the History Channel honors sci-fi legacy of Star Trek with a new series. It's a 10-part miniseries called The Center Stage, 55 Years of Star Trek. So it's pretty neat. It started on November 5th, so just a few days ago. This docudrama, it's just all about Star Trek. The cool thing is it is narrated by Gates McFadden, and the producer of this miniseries is the same producer who did The Toys That Made Us and The Movies That Made Us on Netflix.
Which is a good series if you haven't watched that yet.
Yeah. Very
I know
good.
We've talked about that series on the show, but in case anybody hasn't watched it, that's good stuff.
I've only seen The Toys That Made Us. I haven't seen the movies, but I did like the toys. So.
Yeah. It's the same format.
Yeah,
same editing style, narration style. It's good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So you like those shows at least?
What's that?
You like those shows, the movies and the toys?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they were good. And it's like even movies that, I don't know, I'm interested in that stuff. Even movies that aren't my favorite movies in the whole world. Right. You know, I watched The Making of Pretty Woman. And it was just interesting. Chad, what's going on over there?
Chad loves Pretty Woman. That's like his favorite movie.
He's over there like giggity.
He loves Richard Gere. Did you not know he was a gearhead?
No, it's none of that. It's absolutely none of that.
Mr. Alex Hallmark movies?
No.
You don't like Pretty Woman? Come on now.
I do like Pretty Woman, and I do like Hallmark movies. That's what I thought. With the wife. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay.
I'm just waiting for our feedback section when we talk about poutine.
So yeah, this show's started November 5th. It's, you know, part of that series. Yeah, should be cool. It says it'll air every Friday, and there you go. So I hope you guys enjoy it. And yeah.
Cool. Should be fun.
All right.
Next news story comes to us from comicbookmovies.com. And if you have not watched the Star Trek Prodigy streaming or the first two episodes, you can right now on YouTube. The Paramount Plus has put them online. They're free, but free for a limited time. You have until November 10th. Then they're going to kick them off the Delta Quadrant of YouTube. So, yeah, you only got a little bit. But they're there, so that's cool.
Check them out.
Yep.
Yep.
And then our last news story. This is an update from a story we did last week that never aired. So this is from Screen Rant. So last week we did a story about how Alice Eve was coming to the defense of her underwear scene.
Is this still going on in the news? Are people still talking about this?
Well, because JJ and Damon Lindelof have responded to it as well.
Oh, for crying out loud.
So to catch you guys up, since you didn't hear it, Alice has said that she was very okay with the scene. She was actually proud of it because she worked out very hard to get in shape for that scene. So I can see it from that standpoint. But, you know, a lot of people do say that it was gratuitous and unnecessary. JJ has come out and said, you know, the intent was that Kirk is always womanizing. So that was what they were trying to show there. He also has tried to blame his editing. He says, I don't think I quite edited that scene the right way. But some people did feel like it was exploiting her. And while she is lovely, I can see it from that point of view, end quote. So
why do they even feel the need to freaking respond?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Why? It would be so alone.
It would be so refreshing for there to be a quote where, you know, J.J. Abrams was asked about this and he said, hey, man, it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Just leave it at that.
Who
cares at this point?
You know, when I was making shows, there was a phrase that we would often say, projects never get complete. They get abandoned. Because you can always think about what could you change? What could you do different?
Sure.
And that's how we got the special editions of Star Wars.
I was just going to say, except for George Lucas, he doesn't abandon anything.
No, it's always still going.
Right. Yeah. So same thing with these movies, right? JJ could have said something like that. Like, it was 10 years ago. Are there things I would change now? Probably. And end it at that.
You don't even need to respond. If I'm JJ Abrams and someone asked me a question about it, my response would be, really? Nothing more important to talk about? Next question.
Like, if I was JJ, my response is, wait till you see how I ruined Superman.
That's
your response.
I do like Alice's response, though. I mean, she actually states that as Alice Eve, it's really difficult to look like Alice Eve.
Yeah, makes it realistic, so, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, so, hey, yeah. It is what it is.
That's good that she does say that. You're right.
Stupid controversy. That's a good point. There is no controversy actually.
That was the last news story. That's it.
All made up bullshit.
Yeah. Okay. Except for the jelly.
Yeah. All right. Now we're moving back into the feedback section. This is where I play the hailing frequencies effect.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Are you going to be creative for this?
And we do have some good feedback. I should probably pull that up. We had an email come in. I think you got a copy of it too, Daniel.
Yeah, but you read it.
Okay.
You understand the English language, and I don't.
Okay. This one comes from Jake Slingerland.
Yeah.
I might mispronounce that, but you emailed me, so I'm just going to go for it. Yeah, that old chestnut, Jake Slingerland. Anyway, he says the title of the subject is highly illogical.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. No, this is good. He says, hey, guys, just wanted to say I love the show. I'm a lifelong Star Trek fan. Never missed a movie in the theaters with my dad, and he is still with us. Star Trek, The Undiscovered Country was the first, and I am keeping that tradition with my kids. Quite a while ago, I was looking for a Star Trek podcast. I had never listened to a podcast before, and I found Trekcast. Decided to start from episode one and listen till I was caught up. Oh, oh my
boy.
Lord.
Oh,
wow.
And you did yeoman's work there.
Yeah, it's been a long road.
No kidding. He says, it took a long time. No shit. But for a couple of months now, I've been all caught up and listening to new shows as they come out. Keep it up. You guys are great.
And sometimes they don't come out.
Sometimes they don't come out. Like a little turtle coming out of its shell.
That's right. That's right. I like the idea of our show being a little turtle.
Yeah. It decides to peek out or not, you know? Hey, we
really
appreciate
that.
That's
really cool that he went through everything. I mean,
yeah.
Granted, there's some major changes from the before times.
Just a few.
Yeah.
So I love getting, we love getting emails like that. Emails obviously come to trekstng@gmail.com or chatiswrong@gmail.com. In that case, Jake emailed both of us. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
We don't have anything new over on the coffee account. I don't know what's going on over on social media, Daniel, so you'll have to.
Oh, I got a few.
Yep.
So I posted a picture and put that the JLH commands you to leave a question, comment, and tell us if you're still watching Prodigy. So Taryn immediately responded and said that he is still watching Prodigy, and to him it feels very similar to the Clone Wars, Rebels, or Bad Batch.
Yep.
I don't watch any of those shows, but, you know, he says it feels like him.
He's That's right. Cool.
Yeah, okay.
And you know what? A ton of kids have been watching those for like 20 years now. So that's a good thing.
That
this is
a good
thing. Yeah, this is a good thing.
He says, what's the power source between the two warp cores? Well, we don't know yet.
Yeah, that was in this last episode. I got some thoughts on that. We'll talk about
it. Yeah.
What was the question?
Well, there's two warp cores in engineering, and there's a power source in between them that they don't know what it is. That the Tellarite doesn't know what it is.
Oh, okay.
So
I must have missed that.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Steve wants to know, did Chad screw up the podcast this week? How long before Hollow Janeway murders, and will Paddington come to the rescue? You know, these are all questions that we don't know yet.
Oh no, I know the answer to all three. The first, the answer to the first one is yes. The answer to the second one is towards the end.
Right.
And the answer to the third one is, of course, Paddington, a.k.a. Daniel Reyes, showed up today and saved the show by getting us back over onto Skype so it would record properly. So there you go.
There you go.
Boom, boom,
boom.
And
then, let's see. Somebody posted in the Discord group that he has watched all three episodes. This is Trekkie Geek. Says, he has watched all three episodes. He thought the pilot was pretty good and enjoyed it. But he was honestly expecting Dora the Explorer in space. So,
yeah, I will say it's for a kid show, Y17 or Y7 and up. I was not expecting it to be as engaging for me as it is. I mean, it's fun. It's just fun.
Yeah.
Just watch it and enjoy it and move on.
You know, we were speculating how do we because the very first synopsis we got talked about these kids and they stole a ship.
Yeah. Right.
Like, oh, the show's about a bunch of criminals. No, it's about a bunch of escaped slaves.
Yeah.
Which is kind of heavy for 7-year-olds.
Yeah.
To start this show, you know, around slavery, a slave colony. So it's interesting.
It is very much. When we talk about the details of it, we'll go over it. But I mean, it is very dark for a kid's show.
I feel like
that standpoint. And others.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll wait till the review because then I'll ask Dan this question.
Okay.
But okay. So that's all the feedback that I've got. So,
man, we are flying through this.
Yeah, we are. I've had a lot of coffee today.
It's almost like we've done it before.
Almost.
You know what?
Like
it's the extra hour of sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. We got some extra sleep. I mean, so it's all good. Okay.
And then now we're getting into last night. It feels like everything's dragging forever.
Yeah. It's going to be a day. All right. Yeah. So we're getting into the topic, which, of course, we're talking about Prodigy. Last week in the show that shall not be named, we discussed the first and second episodes, the pilots, essentially. And yeah. This week we've got the third episode. I had the titles up here a second ago for all that, but I've lost it. So whatever. Needless to say, this show is very, very interesting compared to what we thought it would be. And I know the first thing that we talked about last week was, where is this set in the timeline? And I kind of feel like last week we need to talk about this, because last week some of you guys were saying, well, it's at the time when Voyager is in the Delta Quadrant, because they sent the protostar out there to look for.
Yeah, that was our thought.
That was your guys' thought. I had said it comes somewhere like around Picard's time, maybe a little bit before Picard's time. But now I'm even changing my thinking on that to where it comes after Picard's time. And I think we got a little bit of a clue from that when Janeway specifically states who she is, the hologram. And she states it very, very much past tense, as in one of Starfleet's, whatever, captains. I don't know if she said...
Most highly decorated captain.
Most highly decorated captain, right? And so she's saying it past tense. I think that dates this... I guess it does definitely date it after Voyager returns home. It has to.
Right.
Well, yes and no. When you discuss... When we talk about a historical figure who was a general, do we refer to them as General so-and-so, or do we refer them to as Colonel so-and-so? Because every general was a colonel at some point. And we know post-Voyager, she's not a captain. She's an admiral. So if you're talking, if this takes place after that and you're talking about her past tense,
then she would be admirable.
Would refer to her as Admiral Janeway was one of the most decorated officers in Starfleet. They wouldn't refer to her as captain. That would be disrespectful to do that.
Yeah.
So, and then on the other hand, it's like, yeah, but it's Star Trek. They fuck up that military shit all the time. So, I don't know.
I don't
know. But the hologram is based on Captain Janeway. We know that based on, what she's wearing.
Right. What she's saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if we'll ever get a clear answer, and they'll just leave it ambiguous so they don't have to answer it and just do what they want.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that too.
Because this is a kid show, supposed to be a kid show, right? And so I wouldn't want them to waste their time trying to tie it into canon too much. I think this is another one of those shows where it's canon in but not canon out, right? Mm-hmm. And I would rather it be that way.
Yeah. The whole point is to give the kids the flavoring of Star Trek and get them excited for it. So if they get bogged down in the canon, it's going to be too much and it's overwhelming.
Right.
Just make it fun and exciting for the kids, sell some toys and keep going.
Right. Right.
Yeah. This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Yeah. I think that quote right there is just never going to die. I think that's just going to be with us for a long
time. Oh, no. Yeah.
Just like may the force be with you. I mean, I think that that's just going to be there forever. Which we can talk about the Book of Boba Fett at the end of the show if we have time.
Because
the trailer's out for that, and that looks very different. So anyway, back to Prodigy. So in the first, if you watch the
Are we in the topic now?
Yeah.
Okay. We're in the topic. Yeah. So in this last episode, they talked about, and I know we're going to jump around here because whatever, we've done this before. They talked about, was it this episode or was it the episode before? I think it was this episode where they saw the two warp cores and then the power unit in between them, the big round glowy box that was in between the two warp cores. And the warp cores were tilted at angles.
Right, right.
So if you watch in the opening credits of when they're playing the, the opening sequence and the song that goes for the series anyway, you see at one point that the back end where you would think that the shuttlecraft would come out of the protostar, it like does a transformer thing and a third, nacelle comes out or whatever. And then when it goes to warp, it's got three trails instead of two for the two nacelles because there's three of them.
I missed that.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, that's another thing that's unique about this, right? It's a kid's show, but that opening is almost Discovery-level opening. I mean, it's got the big eye watching them. It's got, I mean, there's a lot to it, really, if you watch it. Everybody's face is part of the stars at some point. And
I mean, if any other show was going to have, like, a rock song be, the, you know, another Faith of the Heart, if you will.
Yeah.
It would have been this show, but they want to teach those kids about those intros, you know. Yeah, this is what you can expect when you're an adult.
Pretty much. I mean, and it is very, I mean, it's a very high level for a kid show. It's a supposedly kid show. It's a very high level intro. So anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That gets back to our discussion about what the hell is the protostar and how fast can it actually go and all that kind of stuff. So I guess we'll figure it out as we go on. What are your guys' thoughts on that as far as the three engines, basically?
Hmm. I think it's going to be a really fun toy when they make it that, like, you can hit a button on the top and the third nacelle shoots out and, you know, it makes a cool trigger thing. Like, that'll be cool.
At least they're not floating with magnets away from the rest of the ship. You know,
you can't make that in mass production.
You can, actually.
Yeah, you can if you get those, what do they call those? The rare element magnets or whatever they're called.
Rare earth metal. Yeah.
So I talked about it a little bit in the last episode, where, you know, in the first episode, they're basically digging this thing out of an asteroid or a planetoid or whatever they're on. Mm-hmm. And I thought that may be a callback to the Pegasus episode of TNG, where they had that cloaking device that could phase through solid matter. You know, this is an advanced ship. You know, did they revisit that idea? And, you know, because if you think about it, if you remember that episode with the Pegasus, the whole reason that they couldn't really do that legally is because they were in violation of a treaty with the Romulans. Okay, well, in present day Star Trek, post Picard Star Trek, the Romulan Empire is a shell of its former self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they rely on handouts from other empires. Mm-hmm. You know, they're being propped up by other powers in the quadrant.
Right.
You know, and when one nation aids another nation, there's often caveats to that. Yeah, you know, we're going to give you this military aid, but you're going to agree to do this. We're going to give you this food aid, but you're going to agree to do this. You know, we're going to help you with your resettlement, but we're also going to avoid this treaty from 200 years ago that says that we can't have cloaking technology. And if you're the Romulans and you're in shambles and you're like, yeah, you know what? We need this help. Screw the cloaking treaty.
Right. Yeah. They don't have a foot to stand on.
Yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't be surprised if we find out down the line that treaty was dissolved somewhere along the way. And that opens up new possibilities.
Didn't they have cloaking devices on the Federation ships in Discovery?
Like in the future Federation?
Super future. Yeah.
I thought they did. I thought there was one of them that did.
Admiral Space Dad, I think, put them in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vince Vaughn, but we don't know. You know.
Yeah,
we don't
know. We don't Omar Faruqi, whatever his name is. Yeah.
We don't know the story behind that either. That could be linked to this, or that could be the fact
you,
that
you can find out if you buy a book for $18.99.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
We can have a what? What'd you say?
I said you can find out if you buy a book for $18.99 or whatever the books are.
Not doing that.
What books? I'm missing something.
There's all sorts of Discovery books and
no thanks.
I'm not even getting it. I'm not even.
You want me to immerse myself in more Star Trek Discovery?
The pain is about to start, and in like what, a week? 10 days?
You know, I'll be honest, guys. I watched that show just to talk about it with you guys.
Yeah, I know.
That's it. If
you didn't have us to talk to about it, you wouldn't be watching it.
I wouldn't watch it week to week. I could tell you that. I wouldn't watch it week to week. I would probably either binge it at the end of the season or binge two seasons at a time.
Yeah.
You know, there's a good feeling of having, you know, David and Darren talked about this years ago. There's mm-hmm. there's a good feeling knowing that there's Star Trek out there that you haven't seen. When yeah. you've seen it all, when you've seen it all, that's a nice badge to wear on your chest. I've seen it all. But knowing that, you know, hey, there's a little bit more out there that I could dip my feet into, dip my toes into. And it was more significant back then when they were doing the show and there was no, yeah. no new Star Trek right, anymore. Right. And yeah. I remember David saying that there was one episode of Deep Space Nine that he had never seen. And he was just keeping it in reserve.
Yeah.
For like a rainy day. So
like a pandemic where you're stuck in your home all day.
I'm yeah, sure he's exactly. watched at this point. Yeah. At this point, I think he probably has.
I mean, if there was any time to crack the safety glass on that one,
yeah,
that was yep. the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I think in all honestly, if we weren't doing this show, I would probably be listening to some other
oh yeah
Star Trek sure. podcast talk about Discovery, yeah. and I might not be watching it as much. I think I'd still watch it, but I think I'm with you, Dan. I'd probably watch it all together in one shot or something, and wait until you can do that or suffer through it. I guess I don't know, but
we'll I probably would have forgotten about it and just.
It's life. Quite possible because there's a lot of shows that come on that I watch the first two episodes and be excited about and then just yeah. kind of forget about it. I mean,
yeah,
that's what would have happened.
Me too.
Or it turns into I've got these six things in my queue to go watch. I want to watch them all and I just go uh-huh. watch an old TNG episode.
Well, that's the other thing. You have so many queues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now. It used yeah. to be what's in my Netflix queue. Now it's what's in your Netflix queue. Your Hulu queue, your HBO Max queue, your Amazon Prime queue, your Paramount Plus.
I don't know. So many guys' Netflix queues or your queues like mine were like, these are all movies I intend to watch, but I never watch them when it's time.
No,
I
always find movies. No. I've had movies in that queue for 10 years.
Yeah.
On Netflix, right? And it's like, it'll disappear from the queue. Because it's no longer right. yeah the rights expire and like 3 years later I'll just be going through and bloop it's back in the queue. It's like oh I should watch that tomorrow. I'll watch it tomorrow.
Yeah
and then I'm not in the mood for that right now.
Yep.
I think yeah. I still have two movies that are over in the Netflix queue and I don't have anything in any queues anywhere because I just why that takes time to put it in the queue like
right.
I don't even do that. I don't even pull up these streaming services apps and then look for things to watch. That drives me nuts because you can spend an hour doing that and not uh-huh. watch anything. Yeah. So I don't do that either. Instead, I have an idea of what I want to watch at some point that week and I keep that in my head. And then when it's time, yep. I either go start that or I start something else.
You know what the queue is? I just thought of this. This is what the queue is. The queue is the equivalent of when you're walking around the video store, you find a movie, but you're still going to walk around in case there's something better.
That's yeah. exactly what yep. it is. It's window yep. shopping.
Yeah, it's when you've got eight movies in your hand, and then it's like, all right, I've seen everything. It's time to go. Let me figure out which two I'm keeping and which six I'm putting back.
Right.
And then,
right.
and then you find out if you're a decent human and you put them back where they go or if you just dump them on the counter.
Nah, that's what they're paid for.
So I you're
bastard. I'm with you, Chad. Just ensure their work. We're helping them.
You know,
I worked at Blockbuster.
I worked retail, and there's you know different. They probably don't call them this anymore, but there's different names for things. Some stores call those orphans when things are out of place.
Oh, they're yeah, called yeah,
orphans,
yeah.
and there's a cart full of. And some, you know, that's not the best terms.
No,
some places call them,
no, yeah,
some places call them go backs. They call them go backs. Oh, but you know, I can remember working in places, and you know. It's a shopping cart full of go backs. And it's like, you have to walk around the store and you're reverse shopping. You're doing the opposite of what everyone else is doing.
When I worked at a store in high school, we called them nomads. And you had to find the land for the nomads.
So I have a Roku. And one thing you can do, I don't know if you can do this on just any smart TV.
Yeah.
You probably can, but you can do a search for a movie or a show or something over multiple platforms. You just search for it in Roku, and it'll tell you it's available here for free. It's available here for $1.99. It's available here for $3.99 or whatever. And more often than not lately, I find myself, I'll just get an idea in my head. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if this is available. And I'll just search for it on Roku. And then there's a Roku queue, too.
Yeah.
Where, you know, if it's not available right now or it's not available for free, you could click to put it in that queue and they'll let you know when it's free somewhere. Yeah. And this is how I know I'm getting old, that I watch more shit on Tubi than anything else because it's old free junk.
Yeah.
Like the other night.
I still don't watch Tubi. I still don't have
it. Oh, I love
Tubi. Oh, man. You know what I watched the other night? I got it in my head that when I was 4 years old, I went to the movies to see The Lone Ranger with my father. Not the ones from the 50s and the 60s, but in 1981.
The Johnny Depp movie.
No, that's
later.
No. But in 1981, they made, you know, an updated movie of the Lone Ranger, and I read that it got horrible reviews and it tanked at the box office. And it doesn't matter that Raiders of the Lost Ark came out 2 weeks later. I'm sure that had nothing to do with it.
Oh yeah,
right.
So, you know, I didn't remember anything about that movie, but I watched it the other night. I don't know what all the hate is. I actually really enjoyed it. But Christopher Lloyd is in it, and I had no idea.
He plays
Butch Cavendish, the bad guy. Huh. And I've had that action figure since 1981. Had no idea it was Christopher Lloyd this whole time.
That's funny.
Well, it's cool how much we're talking about Prodigy.
I was just thinking the same thing. This is the least filled Trek podcast ever. I mean,
I just brought it back to Star Trek. It's Christopher Lloyd. Come on, Lloyd. He played a Klingon.
He wanted Genesis.
Yep. He wanted Genesis at any cost.
Yeah.
So getting back to Prodigy.
Yeah. Very clearly, I don't think we're the target audience for this show. But no, so I was going to ask Dan, or you, Chad, have you guys watched it with your kids?
Cannot get my daughter to watch it.
Okay.
My son watched the commercial for it.
Okay.
I didn't have him watch it. Yeah. It came up on something that he was watching.
Okay.
Oh.
And he wants to watch it. We haven't watched it yet, but he wants to sit down and watch it. So he's excited. He says Daddy looks awesome. That's what he said.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Okay. We'll see. I showed we meant five minutes to my nephews and they walked away.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They got distracted by something else.
Yeah. Well, it is a little dialogue intensive.
Yeah.
We meant to watch it yesterday. We're going to all watch it together. My wife is going to watch it with us. You know, she watched Voyager with me. She watched all seven seasons of Voyager. So she likes
Janeway. She'll probably like it then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes she puts her hand up to me and says, and in a Janeway voice, says, do it. Like, you know, Picard had Make It So. She had do it.
Do it. Yeah.
Do it.
That's good. I love it.
When you guys all watch it, just gonna be like, my people have a saying, let's make some popcorn.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
My people have a saying.
Oh God.
Shit. Man. All right. So let's talk about these obvious, it looks and feels like a Star Wars, Clone Wars. It looks
like
a Bad Batch. All the way down to a General Grievous, the enemy alien robot guy is basically General Grievous. So there's a part of this this last episode where General Grievous himself is on the outside of the ship and he throws his cloak off and all of a sudden he's got multiple arms and legs and he's trying to chase after somebody.
Yeah,
Dahl. I guess Dahl's the one on the outside of the ship. So. I found that to be kind of humorous that they really weren't disguising that at all, that this guy is basically a copy of General Grievous.
Right. So. Yeah. And then they've got that cat girl slave. The little kitten girl.
Oh, yeah. The kitten is all of a sudden in a spacesuit now. Like, oh, my gosh, that's horrible.
I mean, you know, that's going to be a character that matters later if they keep bringing her up.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to decide that they have to go back there and rescue those people, right?
Yeah.
They pretty much just left. and left them all. And now they're going to get chased by the big baddie, who is essentially a Sith Lord. I mean, they've made him out to be Darth Vader incarnate. He's across. He's got the suit and everything with the water bubblies and all of that. I mean, it's just, he's a Sith Lord. That's what he is.
The water bubblies?
Yeah, he's got the little tubes of the water and everything, yeah.
Oh, he's got a soda stream strapped to his chest.
He was living inside of the soda stream before, and now he's got to have a pipe through his veins. It's basically Ketracel White is what it is.
I was just going to say, it's Ketracel carbonated.
Yeah, it's carbonated Ketracel.
We're going to teach the kids about drugs, too?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't get what he's after this ship for, other than... You know, maybe the engines, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how he knows. It'd be interesting to know how he knows about the ship and why he's after the ship. But
he wants the Janeway hologram to teach him how to murder better.
He's far from the lands of his people. That's why.
That's right.
He's got to get the Chakotay hologram
You know what he wants? He wants that Akuchimula.
Akuchimula. Well, maybe he knows something we haven't figured out yet, which is that that third engine in the middle runs off of those crystals that he's harvesting.
Yeah, maybe.
Because he's got a big bug up his butt about getting all those crystals. I don't know. It's interesting, though. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
I'm sure the climax for the season, the last two episodes, they go back to that asteroid to save everybody.
You would think. Like, the girl, I forget what her name is. I know the main character's name is
Gwen,
Paul.
Is it?
Is it Gwen? Yeah.
Something like that.
Or is it Quinn? I think it's Quinn.
Yeah, whatever.
The daughter of the bad guy is Quinn. And then we've got Murph, who's my favorite. Yeah, she's basically, that's what they are. They're predators. I do like Murph, though. The offshoot of Yaphet from the Orville.
Yeah.
So.
I cannot wait till they make, like, the hand squeezy things of Murph.
Yeah.
That are, like, gel-based.
The stress ball, the Murph
stress ball. The Murph stress ball.
For kids,
For kids, for fidget spinners. Kids. Oh, my God. If they don't do that, I mean, they have totally just...
make that a stress ball thing.
I mean, every kid nowadays needs that for some reason, you know? Yeah. So...
yeah, it's your fidget spinner thing, you know? Like,
yeah, gotta have something, right? So if they don't come up with that, then whoever's running... what was her name? Vicky something that's running marketing whatever over there? Yeah. And merchandising, like, good grief.
That seems like a self-evident one to make.
Yeah, watch this show, ladies and gentlemen, over at Viacom CBS. Honestly, all the ideas come from here.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
I mean, good Lord, just pay us. See, they missed the boat 2 years ago. They should have just paid us to be their podcast.
Yeah. Well, they can make those sunglasses, the Bebop sunglasses that the Tail Wright was wearing.
Yeah, because they're kind of they're kind of a little slit. Yeah. Visor thing. I thought that was cool.
Stunner shades.
Yep. For all of his welding. They're basically welding glasses. So.
Yeah. But it's in the future. You don't have to weld.
Okay, so let's talk about
that.
No,
you can weld. You just have to use a phaser to do it.
Yeah.
That's right.
They do it all the time. I did like how in this last episode, they did the making a shuttlecraft from scratch. You know,
the 3D printed one.
About freaking time they did that. I've always wondered, why do we see all these shots of people building starships in space when they can just replicate the stuff? And like, I could see the assembly, I suppose. At some point, the scale gets too big. But at some point, you would think that we would build a replicator that can build a replicator. And then we build a bigger replicator that can build a bigger replicator. And at some point, you just have this giant effing replicator that just pops out a whole ship.
I mean,
makes sense to me, but
It makes sense.
So. I like how it was a process.
Yeah.
It was a process that was occurring that, you know, takes 10 minutes to happen. Yeah. I don't want a replicator where they say, you know, computer, give me a Type 2 shuttlecraft, and then it just appears in front of you. That's just.
Yeah. A little too overpowered. Yeah, a little too overpowered.
Yeah, the idea that, you know, oh, we're out of shuttlecrafts, we need one, okay, replicate one. And, you know, the mechanical arms start coming out and, you know, they're welding this, they're putting this together and you know, 15 minutes later you have a shuttlecraft. Okay, I can buy that.
It would explain...
That looks like the assembly line at General Motors.
Yeah.
Just higher technology.
It would explain where all of the torpedoes came from in Voyager.
Right.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, remember in WandaVision, the ship of Theseus?
Yeah.
Where if you take out the planks and you move it to another ship, is it still the same ship? Now, if you replicate the protostar, but you use the replicator of the protostar. Is it still the protostar?
That's what that nacelle is. That's what that nacelle is coming out the back. It's the beginning of it pooping out another starship.
There you
that's
go.
All that is.
Wait, what if that's what he wants? It's not the ship. It's that replicator. Because then he can create whatever he wants.
Well, sure. If they have no replicator technology in the Delta Quadrant, if they have none of the Federation technology in the Delta Quadrant. So, I mean, right. at the end of the day, it's probably the tech that he wants. Period. Yeah. All the tech. All of it. And they did something very interesting with the shields. And I don't know when they started doing this. I think I've seen them do it in Discovery. But shield used to be a ball. Shield used to be some sort of sphere or hemisphere or ellipsoid type shape around the starship. Now it's like this far away from the hull.
Yeah, now it's like a wetsuit.
Now it's like a wetsuit. Like all of a sudden they've changed that. And they did it in Lower Decks as well.
Yeah.
I think there's different kinds of shields. Aren't there primary shields and secondary shields? And, you know, and then you have deflector shields where they're not really for to repel attacks, but to move space debris out of the way while you're flying so it doesn't rip through the hull.
Right.
So, yeah, maybe those were the secondary shields.
I don't know.
You know what? It's a dumb, fun show for kids, and I hope they enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it's nothing we have to really, you know, try to parse too much, but it's cool. It's good. They've done a good job of it. Again, everything that they've done so far with New Trek all the way back to 2009 JJ Trek has been visually good. They've done that part.
Yeah, it all looks great.
Mhm.
Yeah.
How much of this show so far in 3 episodes though do you think is doing anything as far as like teaching kids anything?
None of it.
Yeah, there's not none of it yet. Like there was in this one, in this last one, the third one, they've kind of gotten a little bit of setup about who the United Federation of Planets is and who Starfleet is.
Right.
They spent a little time doing that.
Do you mean teaching kids about Star Trek, like getting them into Star Trek, or do you mean teaching kids like my daughter
the
watches
philosophy.
Bubble Guppies and they teach shapes and colors and things like that? Because initially, that's what I thought this was going to be.
That's what I thought.
I thought it was going to be, you know, the Janeway hologram is teaching kids about gravity, and gravity is what makes the ball fall when you let go of it, and you know, things like that. Which, looking at it now, that would probably be more of a Nick Jr. show than a Nickelodeon show.
True.
I just need to. I mean, this is a Nickelodeon show. How long until they start pouring green slime on these kids when they say, I don't know?
Ooh. Well, Murph would think the green slime is his girlfriend.
That's
probably.
True.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And then we're going to learn a lot more about Murph than we need to know.
Yeah.
Kind of like how we learned about Yoffit this last week or two. Who was it that was saying that he splits in two and it becomes a. That's how they reproduce. It's
like a
brother and sister, essentially. And that's whatever. I forget who said that. It was over in Discord. We had that conversation
somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Yeah. Well, it was an idea about what to do with Yoffit's character in the next.
Because
Norm's gone. So
yeah,
you could easily have him split in two and create two new Yoffits. Basically, I almost called him Murph. Two new Yoffits.
I would absolutely love if they do what they did in like the Ninja Turtle show when they got rid of Jason Biggs and they just like, they kick Leonardo in the throat. And then like, he's like, oh, my throat is damaged. And now I'm Seth Green. So like,
show was that?
In the 2013 Ninja Turtles, the CGI one.
Oh yeah.
Like in season 2 or 3, Jason Biggs left, but he was Leonardo. So they kicked Leonardo in the throat and he's just like, oh,
and he's like, something wrong with my voice.
Yeah. Now I'm Seth Green. Like, that's how they handled it.
That's hysterical.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
You could do something like that with Yoffit, and all of a sudden he's Liam Neeson.
No, man. Talk about a great voiceover for Yoffit's replacement.
It'd be great if he was Liam Neeson.
Or Morgan Freeman, the voice of God.
Yeah. And all those guys have to do is walk into a studio for a few hours and they're done.
Yeah.
I just hope they don't Chuck Cunningham him, where he just, you know, disappears, slithers down the hall, and then we never see him again.
Right.
You know, they got to do something.
Good of a character.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, so we done on Prodigy.
Yeah, we're done, and I mean, Disco's coming back. Like so in a week or two. And yeah.
So that thing you got in the mail or in the email, was that thing for us to log in and watch ahead of everybody else or what?
Oh, that thing I sent you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for us.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's on the 17th?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the show premieres on the 18th?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what are we talking about?
The premiere thing that I sent you guys for Disco.
Oh, okay.
And if you sign up for it and you give them your address, they'll send you something, apparently.
Oh, cool.
I'll have to go do that when we get done here, then.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, if you start clicking through the Google form, it says like, "Can we send you something? Will you give us your address?" So,
cool.
I figured I shouldn't be the only one who gets the free shit.
Yeah. Okay, so that means, I guess we won't record on the 14th.
Yeah, we should look. When does Disco start up?
On the 18th, so that's a week from Thursday. So we'll record on the 21st, and we'll have our first episode to talk about.
There you go.
And in between then and now, Daniel and I will figure out what's going on with the Discord, because I'd really love to get. I mean, when it worked great. And what was nice about it is people could just sit in there and watch and listen to the show live. And there's all kinds of things about it. So I want that to work, and it does. Yeah. It's just a matter of figuring out what the hell's.
And it looks better than than Skype.
It does. It looks so much better. It sounds better too. The audio sounds better. I mean, we can have our effects and all everything. So, I mean, that's the future. That's what we're moving towards. We'll get there.
Yeah.
So,
what else? If you guys want to go see the Eternals, whatever.
Oh yeah,
I watched Black Widow.
What'd you think?
Because it's finally on Disney Plus. I never paid for it. I didn't go to the theater. I didn't pay to stream it.
Oh, Shang-Chi's coming out soon on Disney Plus too.
Yep. Patience is a virtue. But Black Widow. I liked it more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
I really liked the comedic take on Red Guardian.
Yeah.
How he just so wants to be, you know, the counterpart to Captain America, and no one sees him that way except himself.
yeah.
I do like that.
Yeah, it was good. It was pretty good.
I think I watched the first 15 minutes, and that's it.
I think of the three Marvel movies that we've gotten, Black Widow, Shang-Chi, and Eternals, Shang-Chi's the best one. Like, it's just the most.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. When's that come out on Disney? I know it's coming.
Yeah, I don't know the exact date, but like it may be like next week. Like it's soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I saw a trailer for Morbius.
Oh yeah, I forgot that was coming out.
Which, you know, they're going full throttle with somehow connecting all these Sony movies to the MCU movies. Because what's his name? Michael Keaton was in the trailer.
Yeah.
Oh really? I haven't seen that trailer again.
Dude, Michael Keaton is in all the multiverses.
Yeah.
He's going to be in the Flash movies, and he's going to be in the Spider-Man ones.
Yeah.
Wow.
The funny thing is, they did an interview with him maybe a month ago, and they asked him about that. And he's like, look, they sat me down, both of them. They explained it to me. I don't know what's going on, but I just do the role.
Good on him, though. Good for him for being honest and not trying to bullshit his way through, because people would know.
Yeah, yep. I legitimately believe him. Like, yeah, he doesn't get it, but he knows people like it, so he's just gonna do it.
Yeah.
Yep. Gotta love Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
You do. Mr. Mom is in my Roku.
There you go. It's a great movie.
It is a great movie.
All of his movies are great. Gung Ho. I mean,
Jack Frost.
No, that's the one. That's the one that I have a problem with that one, because it's, you know, this kid loses a parent.
Yeah,
and then his dead father comes back as a snowman. I mean, what kind of message are you sending to young kids? You know, yeah. that, you know, mommy yeah. died of cancer last year, but maybe she'll come back as a Christmas tree or some shit. And yeah. it just, it was, no.
Yeah. yeah.
Sorry. Different. Sorry, different. Michael Keaton. I love everything else you do, but that.
You know, sometimes you do a movie for the check.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just ask, yeah. Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
All of his movies are for a check.
Well, I guess
there was an old interview with National Michael Treasure. Caine. Huh?
I could they're yeah,
do,
one at a time.
They're going to do more more National Treasure movies.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
He's going to be part of it.
Yeah.
Cool. I like those movies. Those are great.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
There was an old interview with Michael Caine, and they asked him about one of his terrible movies. And he's like, yeah, I don't remember much about that, but I remember the house I bought.
Yeah, that's pretty.
I mean, good. That's honest. That's fair. Yeah.
That's yeah. true, though. It's a job, you know.
Yeah.
If someone asks you about a job that you had 25 years ago, and why did you do this, and why did you? I don't know. I mean, it was TCBY, and I was in high school.
Yeah.
I don't know. I made the parfait the way they told me to make the parfait.
That's right. Right. That's right. Man, I miss those TCBYs. Those were always good. All right. Anything else? I thought there was something we talked about that we were going to talk about at the end of the show if we had time, and now I've completely forgotten.
Well, we'll remember later.
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't get any poutine jokes back in again. That sucks.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen who are listening to the show, you really missed out on that. That was
they missed out on our
highlight of last week's non-aired show.
Our poutine routine?
Our poutine routine, yes. Oh God!
You should go. I mean, we still have the recording. Chad's not in it, but there's got to be.
Maybe it would be better. I don't know.
Well, there's got to be some cuts there. Maybe cut it up a little bit. If there's some snippets, throw that at the end.
See I got if there's some anything, time. I'll look and see.
Anything worth it?
Yeah. I'll look. I'll look.
Any sound bites?
I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are. Soundboard. Yeah, I'm sure there's something. There
I regret it already.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So remember I had said in feedback that Taryn had asked some questions, but it was more related to Prodigy, so I was going to wait.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I got those. So first one is Taryn says, there's a Tellarite, but he's never heard of the Federation?
That's true. I noticed that. I did notice that. I mean, it's possible. I mean, if he was a kid, he's not a kid.
But if he was abducted as a kid and just never...
Correct. And all those other characters are kids. He's not a kid.
Right.
Yeah.
He just, you know...
He's been there a while.
He's been there a long time. He's a worker guy. He has no idea. So...
Yeah.
But you're. It's interesting how a Tellarite even got there.
Yeah. Hmm. He was wondering if the ship is maybe an FTL ship, faster than light. You know, faster than warp or whatever.
Well, warp is faster than...
Yeah, light, I know. But I'm... And somehow
gatekeeping nerd.
Yeah, I know.
That's
I
right. Know. You don't know how fast it is.
Well, actually, I will have you know that it bends space time. It doesn't.
God, actually... you do that voice way too.
You do.
That's way too natural.
It doesn't actually travel faster than light. It bends space time. All right, go ahead.
Oh my gosh.
Perhaps we can have some graham crackers as we talk about.
I think I have some in my beard. Stand by.
How have we not heard that before?
We get Saul Rosenberg all the time, but
Saul Rosenberg quite a bit.
Yeah, but not that one. We gotta get more of that one.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah,
I apologize.
It's almost like Little Nicky. It's great.
He needs to be wearing a fedora when he goes into this voice.
All right. What are the other questions?
That was it. That was a big one. The other one is like, what do we think about the two warp cores and the power source in between? We've talked about that. So.
We'll get to it. We'll see. We'll see.
Well, you know, they always say two warp cores is better than one.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Two warp core breaches. I mean, you know, if you have one, you have the other. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Taryn is also running a poll right now on the Facebook group about why are people still have Paramount Plus. Right now, Prodigy is the winner, but Too Lazy to Cancel is right next to
it. Well, that's what they're banking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this gets back to the whole, I mean, we've had this conversation a lot and since we started doing this show together about the streaming wars and about what those mean and how that impacts things and the theaters. And now you've got Scarlett Johansson filing lawsuit against Disney about how
she won
Black Widow and she won.
Yeah.
And now there's other actors who are doing that. I don't know how those cases are going, but I'm sure they'll all settle and they'll win. But how does a platform, I mean, they're showing ads, I guess, on Paramount Plus, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess that answers that question. But you've got a certain number of eyeballs. You're making this content. People are subscribing to it. They're not really getting tickets out of the theater for movies. But it's like the ad revenue has to come from somewhere. Or a revenue has to come from somewhere other than your monthly subscription. I'll put it this way. As far as Disney Plus goes, they have as much money as God, so who cares? But a service like that that's just making movies and only putting them out on streaming, i.e. Netflix, like the money that they're getting from the subscriptions isn't the same that they'd get from a movie, but you're consuming multiple movies in a week. So there's this weird breakdown of
income. I have this answer, cost, actually.
Right? Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
Okay. So in the case of Paramount Plus, it's a little bit unique because Paramount Plus has done something that the others have not done. Paramount, out of the U.S., licensed their content to like Netflix or to Amazon. So those companies then pay them for them. That's why all these Star Trek shows are wildly successful. It's not just the monthly they get from their subscribers, but it's the money they get from UK Amazon to run Picard and UK Netflix to run Disco, right?
Because they don't want to have the streaming service around the world because of all the different...
Whatever. There's different like regulations with... if you've already contracted your shows there, then you have to wait X number of years before you can show it. So there's a lot, all sorts of different contracts and agreements that just muddy the waters. So they found it easier to just license their content and get that money up front. And that's why Star Trek is doing so well. Even though like we may bitch about it and everything.
Yeah.
That's really it. But for the others, like your Netflix, similar situation. If they're not airing, you know, The Crown in Australia, but they're licensing it to a local streamer, same thing, makes money. Plus there's also product placement. You see a can of Coke in there, Coke has paid money to put that in there.
Oh, sure. Sure.
So that's another way these shows make their money.
I guess that's the one thing that always disappointed me when I learned about it a long time ago. The internet's not actually the internet. The internet's the internet here in the United States, and it's different everywhere else. It's not the same.
Yeah.
And that's just such a major disappointment.
Yeah.
Should be the same.
Yeah, it should be. But right now it's not. And same thing with these shows.
Okay. Makes sense.
The other thing too is like, okay, so you're talking about movie tickets, right?
Yeah.
When a movie, like, okay, I saw The Eternals last night. The ticket was, I think, $12. Disney may get $7 of those dollars, maybe. Distributors will get a chunk. The movie theater will get a chunk. Whereas they get all of my $10 every month for Disney Plus.
Right, right.
So, that's the difference.
Makes sense.
Welcome to Financial Trek.
Yeah. At some point, yeah.
Thanks for explaining that to us. It's very enlightening.
Now that we've totally lost everybody. All right. Well, I guess that's it for us this week. Anything else?
No.
I think we've done it. Okay.
Well, don't forget what Yogurt said. The real money in the movies is merchandise.
Merchandising.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back here in 2 weeks. We'll see whether or not we've got the new setup back up and running again. Who knows? Otherwise, we'll be doing this via Skype, whatever. One way or the other, we'll be back here in 2 weeks. It'll work. We'll be good. And we'll be talking about Discovery, whatever else is going on in Prodigy. That'll be 2 episodes of Prodigy. And then our first glimpse at what are we on? Season 4 of Prodigy? Season 5? I don't know. I don't care.
I don't know.
Whatever it is. It's the next, whatever. The next one.
Yeah.
Hopefully the last. She's captain now, so it's got to be over, right?
You say that hopefully.
I'm kind of at that. Every time a new season of Discovery comes out, I've got this stupid false sense of hope that it's going to be better.
I'm going to make a prediction. Yeah. I'm going to make a prediction. They're going to make it go 8 seasons just so they can say that it's the longest running Star Trek series. That's my prediction.
God,
the only thing I think that would not let that happen is at that point, it's going to get too expensive because all the actors want more money.
Yeah.
And they've got a big cast.
I could see them.
I think five seasons.
Splitting the last season in half and releasing it as two different seasons. I think the last two seasons, they will split in half and call them separate seasons just so they could do that. I think they'll stretch it out.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Either that, or if the actors that are in this show just want more money, they'll just kill them off and get new actors. I mean,
I don't know. I feel like they with this show, they create these artificial milestones.
Oh, for sure.
So that they could say, this is the first time this has happened. This is the first time this has happened. When we all know that we had female captains 20 years ago. We've had
black captains 20 years ago.
We've had captains of color 30 years ago. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's the first one that they've ever seen because they haven't watched the any of the
episodes of Star Trek, we'll just have to wait and see. We'll just have to see how it turns out. No one's going to know.
I can't wait for Disco to end and Riker says end program.
I'm fine with that.
He's been on the holodeck the entire time.
I'm fine with that.
Oh, man.
And then he turns to Barclay and he's like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was fun, but it's a little far-fetched.
Yeah.
And then he just tosses him this isolinear chip. Like, here, throw this away.
Yeah. Or, I mean, in keeping with that theme, you could just have Paris and damn it.
No, Riker wakes up next to Deanna and he's like, I had the weirdest dream. It made no sense, especially canonically.
Chad's got no audio.
Yeah, Chad's got no audio. He went away.
It's fine. It's cool.
Yeah, still no audio.
Yeah, we don't hear you, but the show is so much better.
You went away. He's still talking. It's weird.
You know what he's doing? He's recreating last week.
Yeah. He was recreating. This is what it was, guys. Exactly what it was. God. Is he back? No, nothing. You know what? Forget it. Let's sign off. We're done. We're done anyways. Yeah.
Sweet. Thanks. Live long and prosper.
Bye.
Well, there you have it. Another episode in the can. Check us out at trekcast.com. Also, if you would, please subscribe to us via iTunes. Leave those reviews, subscribe to us, we'll get some numbers, get up the list, get more listeners, do more shows, have more fun. But for now, we're all done. So live long and prosper, and we'll see you next week.